It's time for a solid hour of business insights and strategies for success on Mind Your Business. And here's your host, the president and founder of Bottom Line Marketing, Yitzhak Saflis.
You're tuned to another edition of Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis, now at 10 p.m. right here on 77 WABC, airing in the New York, New Jersey metro area, and of course worldwide at WABCBizRadio.com, and of course on the 77 WABC app. The show, Mind Your Business, on the legendary 77 WABC, is all about you. Every single week, we seek out and interview C-level executives and business leaders and ask them the questions that are on your mind. Gain business advice and strategies on so many professions and business categories, including sales, social media, corporate culture, emerging technologies, leadership, strategic planning, communication, entrepreneurship, financial planning, marketing and advertising, customer retention, and so much more. Stay tuned for tonight's edition of Mind Your Business, where you'll gain solid business advice to get you ahead in today's business world. Well, as we do each week, we open with some thank yous. Special thank you to Pesach Tropper, the show's producer. Thank you. And the great team here at Bottom Line Marketing Group, who plays a great support role. Rena, Srilly, Miriam, Dina, thank you. And to the great team at 77 WABC, Jose, Matt, Chris, Brian, Justin, thank you. And of course, a special mention to the various channels that Mind Your Business is syndicated on. Mishpacha Magazine, the monthly Take 5 column. The readers are going to see an upcoming interview, Tidbits, the top five takeaways from the interview that we're going to feature with Greg Chalker. He's one of the C-suite leaders at Capital One. That's a really amazing interview coming up. But they also featured the interview we had with John Sculley, former CEO of Apple and Pepsi, and many other great CEOs and leaders. That's available for readers of Mishpacha. We're also on C-Suite Radio, C-Suite TV, Audio Boom, iTunes. Of course, we have a dedicated YouTube channel, Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis. And all episodes are available by going to mybradio.com. Of course, that's for the listeners. Yes, we have a new address, a simpler address than in the past. MYB for Mind Your Business, mybradio.com. And of course, all previous episodes are available. There you could access the one we had with John Sculley, former CEO of Apple and Pepsi, Joe Hart, president and CEO of Dale Carnegie, Shep Hyken, world-renowned customer expert. He wrote the book on it. Chris McCann, CEO of 1-800-Flowers, and so many other great executives. All their episodes are available by going to WABCBizRadio.com. Well, without further ado, we go to our special guest this evening, cybersecurity expert Adam Levin. He's the chairman of CyberScout and co-founder of Credit.com. Adam is a nationally recognized expert in cybersecurity, identity theft, and dealt with fraud issues for over three decades. Previously, Adam was the director of the New Jersey Division of Consumer Affairs. Therefore, we encourage you to stay tuned for tonight's edition of Mind Your Business, where we will discuss the importance of cybersecurity and how to take it seriously, and of course a discussion of the recent cyber attacks and how your business can prevent them. With that intro, we give a very warm welcome to Adam Levin. Adam, how are you?
I'm terrific, and thank you so much for inviting me.
Well, thank you for taking of your precious time. You know what? We're just going to open. We're not going to beat around the bush. This past week was, in terms of cybersecurity, was an awful week. I'm looking here at the cover of the Wednesday edition of the Wall Street Journal. I mean, but, unless someone's sleeping under a rock, there was a terrible attack on cybersecurity was at the forefront on everyone's consciousness. We're going to have some time to really talk at this issue and really bring out good tidbits that every small business has to wire in and get into their bones to realize how serious this is. But maybe you could start discussing it. What happened this past week in terms of the cybersecurity?
Well, as you know, about a month or so ago, there was an attack, and it was called the WannaCry attack. And it was based on Eternal Blue, which was part of the bundle of hacking tools that the NSA had. And it was based on vulnerabilities that was discovered with Microsoft There were companies, many of them in Europe and Asia, that were running hijacked versions of Microsoft, as well as outdated or obsolete versions of Microsoft. They weren't even being supported in many cases. And as a result, based on this vulnerability, they were able to encrypt files and stop anything literally from functioning once they got into a network. And they said, you got to pay us $300 a computer or else we're not going to release your files. And that was bad. There was about 200,000 separate incidents in about 150 countries. And the thing that saved the day was that a young hacker actually discovered a kill switch. And it had to do with an unregistered website, which when he registered it, it was like a sinkhole, and all the attack literally went into the sinkhole. Wow. And people were able to restore a lot of their systems, provided that they had backed up their data someplace else. It wasn't so easy to recover data that had been encrypted by this particular situation. And the truth is, they only made about $80,000. So you say 200,000 machines worldwide, and the best you did is $80 a 300 machine. You know, what's 80,000? What's wrong with this picture? And some people felt that it wasn't necessarily designed to make a lot of money. It was more designed like a probe. For instance, when your credit card is compromised, sometimes someone makes a small charge on your credit card to test it, and then they make much bigger charges. So the first question was it a probe? What was it all about? Were people behind it? Was it a disguised cyber attack? Nobody knew for sure. This week came WannaCry version 3.0, which is a much more virulent attack. It involves something known as Petya. In some cases, they call it GoldenEye, and Kaspersky Labs actually called it not Petya because they felt that it was an even more serious version of the Petya ransomware that had been released actually in 2016, even before we knew about WannaCry. This one was far worse. There was no kill switch. It not only surrendered files, it surrendered hard drives. It killed master boot directories, so people weren't able to recover. Now it turns out that the website that was set up that people could email in order to get instructions on where to pay and, in fact, pay, that website was shut down in Germany. So literally there was no place to pay. This information was encrypted. Also, this was so bad, this particular type of ransomware, that it's literally the first time they ever saw ransomware that was also able to steal user credentials. So let's say for a moment it worked like it was supposed to, at least people thought, which is you get ransomware, you pay the Bitcoin, they go away. Well, the problem is, assuming they went away, they didn't actually go away because they had login credentials from users that they could then use to sneak back into the system whenever they wanted and steal data. So this is very serious. One other wrinkle in this is that as more and more people looked at it, they realized that 60% of the damage was done in the Ukraine. Russia was the second hardest hit, and then the rest was kind of sprinkled around the world. And we know that Merck got hit and Maersk got hit and several companies in Russia got hit. And in Ukraine, it had to do with the power grid and the transit systems and a number of situations like that. So some people were starting to think, no, this wasn't really a ransomware attack since only about $10,000 has been collected so far as they can tell. They think it may well have been a disguised cyber attack against the Ukraine, but in the guise of ransomware. So, you know, we're living in a world where breaches have become the third certainty in life behind death and taxes, and cyber war has replaced the Cold War. And the only teeny comment I'll make, and then I know you have questions, is that we spent an awful lot of time in 2016 during the presidential race talking about debating, arguing, screaming about the Great Wall of Mexico, now the Great Solar Wall of Mexico, but far less time discussing an incredibly serious issue, which is cyber. Better you should build a cyber wall, which you really can't actually, but you can harden significantly your cyber defenses. Cybersecurity was not a front burner issue until the Democratic National Committee got hacked. And until the emails got out and the scandal started flying, and then all of a sudden people were talking about that, and then, of course, all of the information that we've now uncovered about the Russian hacking into several state voter databases and election systems.
My guest this evening is Adam Levin. He is the chairman of CyberScout and co-founder of Credit.com. Adam, what is CyberScout?
We are one of the larger cybersecurity and identity theft protection companies in the country. We are in the U.S., Canada, the EU, soon in the Far East and Australia. We have 45 million consumers through 660 major institutions in the U.S. and Canada, and 800,000 businesses through cyber liability policies. So we are sort of the guys you never necessarily heard about, but we're out there. We're behind probably 16 of the top 20 insurance companies in the country use us for their policyholders. We're in banks. We are in credit unions and in employee assistance programs.
And I'll remind the listeners, you could find out more information by going to cyberscout.com, cyberscout.com. Now, Adam, this may seem like a stupid question because, unfortunately, so many people out there still don't realize the risk. How prevalent is identity theft these days?
Far more prevalent than people would think or want. Javelin Research said that last year, over 15.4 million people were victims of some form of identity theft.
Wow.
And that's really what we know. But there are so many more victims of identity theft because it occurs within the family unit, because it occurs to many seniors who are embarrassed to tell anyone that they've been victims of identity theft. It occurs in situations where you may never know. An organization may well be breached. Your information may be out there and being used, but because you're not necessarily monitoring, you may not know. And there are so many different forms of identity theft. You have the original concept of identity theft, which was a compromised credit card or an ATM card where people were able to get into your bank account. But then you start moving up the full chain to true name identity theft, where they open accounts in your name without your knowledge. Medical identity theft, where they use your information for the purposes of getting medical treatment, buying prescriptions, having examinations, which could seriously impact your insurance. You could get medical bills that you had no idea that had anything to do with you, and you could be pursued by collection agencies because of it. Mm. You have tax fraud, where people steal your Social Security information and file tax returns in your name for the purpose of getting your refund, or use your Social Security number for the purpose of getting a job, and that income is being reported to your Social Security number, so you get a deficiency notice. You have criminal identity theft, where someone commits a crime, and the trail of breadcrumbs leads back to you, and the only way you know is you're pulled over for a busted taillight and suddenly you're hauled off to jail. You have child-related identity theft. You have synthetic identity theft, where they take the identities of several different people, combine them, and create a bionic person and go out, open accounts, do medical identity theft, commit crimes in your name. So it's terrifying. It's growing. It's much more sophisticated, in many cases much harder to detect, and by the time people detect it, they're so in the soup that without the assistance of some professional organization, it could take them months, if not years, to solve the problem.
So, Adam, I mean, this sounds terrifying, which it is. Is there hope? What are some practical recommendations to how to protect
myself? Well, I mean, There is hope. The world hasn't ended yet. I mean, don't go into your bedroom and hide under your mattress,
hunker
burn
down
off your fingerprints and lock the door, you know. But it really requires something both for business and consumers, and that is creating a culture of privacy and security. You know, there's a wonderful line from Bruce Schneier, who was with at one time. He's a very famous identity theft consultant, cyber consultant. He was with the Electronic Frontier Foundation, and he said, for those who believe that technology is the solution to your security problems, they don't understand the technology, and they don't understand security. Mm. And as Peter Drucker once said, culture eats strategy.
Yeah.
And that's true, that if you don't start with the premise of everything I do has to have some form of security in the back of my mind, that when I'm given the alternative of convenience versus security, I'll take security. Teeny example. How many people have apps on their mobile phones where they save their user ID and or password?
Right. Now, many, of course.
Yeah, and that means if your mobile device gets into the wrong hands, what happens? Someone finds the app, clicks on the app, and bingo, they're into, let's say, your financial institution. So take a few extra seconds and type in your username and ID and password. It involves things like being a grown-up when it comes to passwords, that you don't use password as password. Or 123456789, which was a favorite of many people who got caught in the Ashley Madison scam, that you use long and strong passwords, that if you can't remember, and let's be honest, almost no one can remember all of their passwords, get a password manager. And password managers, for the most part, are very, very good, and they're very secure. A couple of them had issues, but, you know, again, we're living in a world where everybody can have a potential issue. So get a password manager or load your passwords in an encrypted thumb drive, and then all you have to remember is where you put your thumb drive and the password to your thumb drive. Two-factor authentication. You know, that's where you start the process of logging in. It says unfamiliar device detected because let's say you're using a different device than you normally use. Or you've just, you know, redone your whole software system, and as a result, the website doesn't recognize you. So it sends you a code which you enter into your cell phone, and then you continue the process. So that means that even if someone had all your login credentials, they couldn't finish logging in because they don't have your cell phone. You would get notified because you'd see a code come up, and then you'd go, oh, I think I have a problem here, and then you'd notify the institution. When creating a user ID, it's best, if you can, not to use your email address because so many people know your email address. Now they have half your login information. And with your passwords, mix it up. Don't share them across your entire universe of websites because if you get compromised in any one website, now they have the keys to your kingdom in all your websites. Oversharing on social networking. I mean, we all know people that can't help themselves. They have to tell everyone everything. They take quizzes. They alert people to when they're going, where they're going, how long they're going to be gone, and when they're coming back, which means when someone knows where you are, they also know where you're not. So good news for a stalker, better news for a burglar. When you take a quiz, when you answer all these questions and they go, oh, they're cute, they're harmless, the street I grew up on, my mother's maiden name, my pet's name, what you don't realize is many of the answers you give are answers you have given when you set up security questions on many websites. If the websites try to figure out who you are, you forgot your password and they send you security questions. So I always say, lie like a superhero. I mean, did Superman really run around telling people that he was Clark Kent, or Clark Kent tell people he's Superman? No, nor Batman, nor any of the superheroes. So if you're asked a question, what's your mother's maiden name? If it's Schwartz, it's okay to say Brown. If the street you grew up on is West Street, you could tell them North Avenue. No one is going to conduct the background investigation as if you're getting a security clearance. All the website cares about is when I ask you a question, you need to give me the answer you gave me when I originally said, here are suggested security questions, give me your answers. So, you know, there's a lot more, but I mean, these are some of the, you know, the basics. And biggest thing, do not click on links. This is where people get in a lot of trouble because when they click on a link, malware could take over their computer, turn it into a transmitter, or encrypt their files and demand ransomware. Or you could be taken to a website that looks really, really authentic. And you enter your information. I give you John Podesta in the Democratic National Committee disaster. He went to a website. He thought it was, I believe he thought it was Google. He gave them his Google login information. Bingo. They were in. They were in his email, and the rest is history. And also, by the way, when you write anything in email, assume one day down the road it might end up as the equivalent of skywriting. So be very careful about what you put in your email. But links, even if you get a link from someone you think is your friend, take a second and call them and say, hey, did you just send me a link? I can't tell how many people I've made that call to, and they go, what are you talking about? And also, you know, number one, the Internal Revenue Service will never send you an email. Your bank may send you an email, but they will never ask you to click on links, and they will never ask you to give them sensitive personal information by way of email. And that's why, you know, you always have to be sensitive to what I call the pantheon of ishings. Phishing, which is dear cardholder, dear member, dear account holder. Spear phishing, dear itza. Phishing, you get a phone call, sounds like your bank. They ask you to confirm certain transactions. That's still okay. And then they say, look, we just need to confirm your you. Could you possibly flip over your credit card and or your debit card and give us the security code on the back? Some of them even go further. Once you've done that and you've essentially given them access to your bank account or your credit card, they'll say, you know what? You are having an identity theft problem. Could you give us your Social Security number? Let's start the process of getting a fraud alert on your file or starting a credit freeze for you. And now they got your life. So when someone calls you and starts asking you to authenticate yourself, hang up. Flip over your credit or debit card. Look at your brokerage statement. If it's supposedly a government agency, look at whatever communication you've received from them. Get the real phone number, call the real phone number, and say, did you guys just contact me? Only authenticate yourself when you're in control of the conversation or control of the interaction. And then there's smishing, and that's where you get a text, and the text tells you that your account is frozen. And sometimes you're so panicked that you will just click on the link because you don't even realize what institution it's from. You just think you got a problem. And that link could either put malware on your device or take you to a clone site and end up getting your information and getting you in trouble.
Do you remember the quote from Andy Grove? Only the paranoid survive.
Unfortunately, in this day and age, a little paranoia is not a bad thing.
My guest this evening is none other than Adam Levin, and he is sharing stuff that everyone needs to be listening to, whether you own a business, whether you're an executive or anyone, because everyone has a credit card, everyone has a bank account. This is serious stuff. And in case you're just tuning in, no worries. By Tuesday morning, this show will be available at mybradio.com. Again, that's the website dedicated for this show. MYB for Mind Your Business. We just keep it short. mybradio.com. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
Your company website is crucial to your success, providing information about your company to the entire world. Was your website recently updated? Is it mobile friendly? Well, look no further than websitewithbrains.com, the complete website solution. Call Website with Brains today at 718-412-3500. That's 718-412-3500, or visit websitewithbrains.com. The experienced team at Website with Brains will plan, write, design, and program a stunning and informative website that combines simplicity and flexibility. Get ready to look great online and take your business to the next level. Call Website with Brains today at 718-412-3500. That's 718-412-3500.
Hi, this is Yitzchak Saftlis of Mind Your Business. Well, I'm happy to announce that recently Mind Your Business joined C-Suite TV. Well, are you looking for some great business content other than right here on this show? Then check out C-Suite TV and watch in-depth interviews and business content for C-level executives and entrepreneurs. Watch and get insider secrets on demand by going to csuitetv.com. Again, that's csuitetv.com. C-Suite TV, business insights on demand.
If you own a business, you've got competition. So you have to be different. The number one proven way to be different is to write a book. Think about what The 7 Habits did for Stephen Covey and what The Tipping Point did for Malcolm Gladwell. At Black Card Books, we have a system proven to position you as an authority in your market. Join us for a 2.5-day boot camp, September 22nd through the 24th, and learn the steps toward becoming a successful author. Visit publishabookandgrowrich.com/MYB. That's publishabookandgrowrich.com/MYB. Increase your influence, your sales, and your income. Go to publishabookandgrowrich.com/MYB.
And we're back. Mind your business right here on 77 WABC and around the world at mybradio.com and, of course, on the 77 WABC app. We're speaking with Adam Levin, cybersecurity expert, chairman of CyberScout, and co-founder of Credit.com. He has over 3 decades of experience, and it's probably fair to say that with each passing year, the 3 decades, what you went through probably in 1 year, the most recent year, probably outdid the previous 29 years by, I don't know how many percentage, Adam, but it's, I mean, how fast is this threat growing?
Well, it's just like when you look at Washington and you feel like this has been going on for a decade. In the cybersecurity area, first of all, you have to assume something that we've all come to learn, which is a day could be the equivalent of a dog year. So when someone tells you, you know what, I just had a security audit and I am great. As of 2 weeks ago, I'm okay. I'm in sync with industry standards. I'm in great shape. That was a statement made by the marketing firm, which was part of a group of marketing firms that had been retained by the Republican National Committee, when a 200 million person database suddenly was discovered by a researcher. Wasn't a hack, a researcher simply floating online looking for any exposed databases. And this database had name, address, gender, political preference, religious preference. This was for targeting, for political targeting, for campaigns. And when the firm was confronted by this group Uproot that discovered it, when they were confronted by them, they basically said, well, golly, we were okay as of June 1, but there was a configuration problem between June 1 and when it was discovered a couple weeks later. So you're only as good, unfortunately, as your last audit, and you have to continually audit because you never know. And that goes back to what we originally talked about, which is the first thing is you have to have a culture of privacy and security where everybody in an organization, from the mailroom to the boardroom to the partners to every employee of that organization, has a sense of ownership about privacy and security, that they're part of a team because your employees are your first line of defense and they're also the first point of attack when it comes to hackers. So everybody's got to feel a sense of ownership. You need to encrypt any information that you hold about customers or employees. If you're creating a product or a service, you have to make sure that privacy is at the core of the product or service, not a, oh, golly gee, yeah, I better think about how do I secure this thing. I give you billions of Internet of Things devices where the manufacturers have done a miserable job of building security into these devices. There are manufacturer default passwords that they don't even tell you. You know, when you get it, maybe you should change them because these default passwords are being sold like mad in the dark web because we use, in most cases, silly manufacturer default passwords. So for instance, why not build a product if it's an Internet of Things product, which can be a point of vulnerability into your network or be recruited as an army as part of a botnet that brings down websites with fake traffic? why not create a product where it won't work unless the consumer enters a long and strong customized password of their own, for example? Mm-hmm. No one does that. In a business, you have to have a password protocol, which is you can't use any password you use in your non-business life when you walk through the door or connect into any system that is a system of this business. You need to have two-factor authentication, so everybody kind of has a check on things. Employee awareness. You know, the biggest problem is that a system is only as secure as its weakest link. And unfortunately, we humans have proven that we are the weakest link. And as a business, as a defender, you've got to get everything right. For someone to crawl into your system, all they need is one moment of mistake, one configuration error, one employee clicking on the wrong link, somebody leaving a port open in a computer, any one of those things, and the bad guys can get in. And the malware is so sophisticated, you may not know that someone's in your system for months, in some cases, a year or two. So you need to train your employees to be on the lookout for phishing attacks, to be very careful when they hook into your systems, to use virtual private networks, or don't, you know, beware of public Wi-Fi. Mm. That can come back to haunt you. Wow. When you hire a vendor, mm-hmm. we're in an era now where, as far as class action lawsuit attorneys are concerned and regulators, your vendors are your employees. If they mess up, it could clearly come back to you. So make sure that they have the same kind of security protocols you do. Also, as I mentioned, if you have Internet of Things devices in your offices, which everyone does, from the printer to the camera in their computer, mm-hmm. To the copy machine to the coffee pot, if you can change a password, change it. Now, you know the policy BYOD, bring your own device. And most businesses now allow employees to use their own mobile device because it increases productivity. So that's the good news. But the bad news is all that productivity could go down the drain if one of those devices is the pathway into your network for a hacker. Now think about how many people allow their children to get on their mobile devices, especially you're in a restaurant, your kid's driving you crazy, you go, here, right. Use daddy's phone, or right. Here, use the iPad. Right. And you're not looking, and they're clicking on every link, they're doing all sorts of things, and before you know it, you may have malware on your device, which you then connect into the network of your business, and bingo, the bad guys are into your business. So I say to people, think of bring your own device as BYOB, bring your own bomb. And as a business, make absolutely sure that if someone is going to connect their mobile device into your network, that it has to have the same security protocols on it that you demand of any device on your network in-house, which means that your IT people and your information security people have a right to say to your employees, if you're going to hook that device into this system, we want to know what's in it, and we may even ask you to let us look to see what security measures that you have on your devices. And one thing that the past few weeks have taught us, especially with this exploit of the Microsoft vulnerability, is that if you get a notice on your mobile device or your PC or whatever that says there is an update available for your security software, do not think of it as a mosquito. Do not flick it away. Do it. Do it fast. If they tell you there's an upgrade available on that system and that system at some point is going to be unsupported because it's going to be obsolete, do the upgrade. And the most important thing is back up your data. And don't back it up with a system that is connected continuously to your network, because that means if the ransomware hits your network and you have continuous backup, it's going to crawl right through the network into the backup. So use what's called air-gapped backup, which means it's not connected 24/7 to your system. that it's only intermittently connected so that you can preserve the data, because that could be the difference between an extinction level event and not.
Folks, my guest this evening is none other than Adam Levin, cybersecurity expert, and he is sharing stuff. My gosh, this is, folks are lucky here. We don't charge for this. And I do appreciate the feedback we get every week when we have amazing guests that provide really great advice, perspective on their area of expertise. And Adam is really wowing us. Adam, I really appreciate, especially after this week with everything that went on, we made it a goal. And again, I got to give thanks to the team here, Pesach and Rina, that always, you know, come up with great ideas on who our guests should be. And this is just unreal. We're going to take a short commercial break. Stay tuned.
Your company website is crucial to your success, providing information about your company to the entire world. Was your website recently updated? Is it mobile friendly? Well, look no further than WebsiteWithBrains.com, the complete website solution. Call Website with Brains today at 718-412-3500. That's 718-412-3500, or visit WebsiteWithBrains.com. The experienced team at Website with Brains will plan, write, design, and program a stunning and informative website that combines simplicity and flexibility. Best of all, Website with Brains can have your new website up and running within 4 to 6 weeks. Get ready to look great online and take your business to the next level. See some of the attractive, user-friendly sites built by Website with Brains by visiting WebsiteWithBrains.com. Then give Website with Brains a call at 718-412-3500. That's 718-412-3500.
Since 1848, the quality of Herzog wines has been appreciated by royalty as well as those who aspire to it. Located in its state-of-the-art winery in Oxnard, California, the Herzog family produces a wide range of wines combining old-world value and new-world technology. These wines have made Herzog Wine Cellars the most award-winning kosher winery in the world.
Author, radio host, and president of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Saflis, has written the essential book for the success-driven, fast-paced professional. So, What's the Bottom Line? Is a must-read for marketing your business and building your personal brand. Former U.S. Congressman and media executive Bob Turner describes So, What's the Bottom Line? As a compass to guide the experienced executive or marketing novice through any step in planning or organizing a selling strategy. So, What's the Bottom Line? Is available now on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and bookstores nationwide. Get your copy today.
And we're back. Mind Your Business with Yitzhak Saflis right here on 77 WABC and on the website dedicated for the show, MYB Radio, for Mind Your Business, mybradio.com. In case you're just tuning in, by Tuesday, this show will be up and live. And if you have a credit card, if you bank online, if you do anything online, this show is a must. Adam Levin, he's been in cybersecurity for over 3 decades, co-founder of Credit.com and chairman of CyberScout, has taken from his very precious time to join us on this edition of Mind Your Business. Adam, thank you very, very much.
No, thanks. Thanks for inviting me. I always enjoy kind of sharing and scaring a little bit,
because
I think we haven't really been scared enough, because a lot of people take the position, I'm just a person, who would care about me? Or a business goes, I'm a little business, nobody, I'm just a small business. Well, there was a story in the New York Times a couple of years ago about a little teeny machine company in the Midwest that got attacked, a vicious cyber attack. They got in their systems. Nobody could understand why. It wasn't about them. It was about the people with whom they did business. Just like, how did Target get breached? Someone breached a subcontractor, an HVAC subcontractor, and used their access into the Target systems to crawl into Target.
Wow, through a vendor that supplied AC whatever and heating systems. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, so I mean, look what happened in Hollywood when they had the thing where there was Netflix should pay us, or we're going to release the information about, or, you know, we're going to release episodes of Orange is the New Black. Well, it was a small post-production company that got breached, and because they got breached, these folks got their hands on that, and they also got their hands on other movies, and they were threatening to release them without being paid. So, you know, no one's too small, and as a consumer, trust me, in the eyes of a hacker, each and every one of us is Kim Kardashian. So, because we got what they want. So that's why a couple other things that businesses should focus on, following up on our theme here, is that a business should always be doing scans to see what vulnerabilities they have. And if they find a vulnerability, they have to patch it immediately and notify everybody to make sure that they upgrade and take care of the patch. They need to test internally to make sure their systems are as secure as possible. Physical security, cybersecurity. They also need an outside, completely unaffiliated organization to do what's called external penetration testing, where someone continually tries to break into their system to see if they can get in. And the other thing that businesses have to watch out for, especially if they hold data, and particularly PII, or personal identifiable information, is watch the flow of the data through your system. And if you suddenly see an unusual spike in data going out, now, Target never saw that because the hackers were so clever, they never took more than a certain amount of data out every day. They moved it laterally, then they moved it out. But sometimes you will see an exfiltration. Don't think that's an anomaly. Look into it. And by the way, I love IT people, and I'm the least IT-oriented human on the planet. Yeah. And the old line, some of my best friends are IT people. Okay. But in a company, when your IT department says to you, don't worry about it, we got it covered, worry about it. You need information security people. You need, it's a cooperative, it's not just about the technology group, it's about information security, it's about the HR department, it's about the legal department, it's literally every department in a business is involved in a collaborative effort to protect that business against an attacker. And then the last part is, if you have a problem, and unfortunately you have to assume that it is highly likely you will because of the world we're in, you have to have a plan. So backup is part of a plan. Cyber liability insurance is part of the plan. You have to have the plan that guarantees that your business continues while you're figuring out where the vulnerability was. You're patching the vulnerability, you're still dealing with your customers, you're still, you know, having the dialogue, you're communicating with potentially with regulators, with your attorneys. That's why we always say to people, create a plan or hire someone who will create a plan for you, and then test that plan, do tabletop exercises, and train like sailors on a nuclear submarine. Because on a nuclear submarine, by the time there is an incident, those folks are so well trained, they're responding literally by muscle memory. And the question is, how are you going to deal with your employees? How are you going to deal with your customers? How are you going to deal with your business partners? So that means, do you have a press strategy? How do you interact with the media? How are you going to take calls from your the people that feel aggrieved who are on your database? What kind of solution are you going to provide to them? You know, in the old days, it was, oh, we had a problem, we're sorry, check your credit report. Then it was, we had a problem, check your credit report. Oh, by the way, we'll pay for your credit report and your credit monitoring. And now it's, we'll pay for credit monitoring and we'll also have a company come in and help you resolve the problem if you have a problem. And trust me, if you're on a database that was compromised and they offer you monitoring and a resolution provider, take it. Take it. And the other thing that a lot of people don't realize is that many insurance companies, through homeowner policies, auto owner policies, renter policies, even some life policies, have programs available to assist you in the event you have an identity incident. So you need to call your insurance agent and say, do I have identity theft protection insurance? It's effectively the equivalent of individual cyber insurance. Or call your bank representative or your credit union and say, do you guys have a program for me? Or the HR department where you work, and say, is there a plan? Am I in the plan? If not, how do I get in the plan? Is it free, or what's it going to cost? You may be pleasantly surprised that your employer or your insurance company or your credit union, for instance, or generally smaller banks, have programs that will help you, and in many cases, it's free or incredibly inexpensive, and it's, trust me, the best investment you ever made.
Wow. My guest this evening is Adam Levin, cybersecurity expert and chairman of CyberScout and co-founder of Credit.com. He's sharing some incredible and vitally important advice for anyone, especially businesses of any size, here on this show. In case you're just tuning in, no worries. It will be available on the website dedicated for the show, mybradio.com. That's Remind Your Business, mybradio.com. We're going to take a short commercial break. We'll be right back.
If you own a business, you've got competition. So you have to be different. The number one proven way to be different is to write a book. Think about what The 7 Habits did for Stephen Covey and what The Tipping Point did for Malcolm Gladwell. At Black Card Books, we have a system proven to position you as an authority in your market. Join us for a 2.5-day boot camp, September 22nd through the 24th, and learn the steps toward becoming a successful author. Visit publishabookandgrowrich.com/MYB. That's publishabookandgrowrich.com/MYB. Increase your influence, your sales, and your income. Go to publishabookandgrowrich.com/MYB.
Come join the most trusted business network for executives, the C-Suite Network. If you're a business of $5 million or greater, or your position is VP or higher, you're invited to join the C-Suite Network to connect with business peers. Go to csuitenetwork.com, that is csuitenetwork.com, to learn more about the benefits, meetings, and services exclusive for C-Suite executives like you.
Did you know that dissatisfied employees cost American businesses over $300 billion each year? Now there's a solution. TeamAhead.co. TeamAhead is a complete solution to help companies of all sizes build a positive corporate culture. TeamAhead helps today's thought leaders make their vision a legacy. TeamAhead will enhance your workplace productivity, boost morale, and successfully communicate your vision. Don't let your company's strongest asset be its biggest liability. Call toll-free 800-890-1807 extension 3505 or visit teamahead.co to fuel your winning workplace today.
Your company website is crucial to your success, providing information about your company to the entire world. Was your website recently updated? Is it mobile-friendly? Well, look no further than websitewithbrains.com, the complete website solution. Call Website with Brains today at 718-412-3500. That's 718-412-3500. Or visit websitewithbrains.com.
And we're back. Mind Your Business right here on 77 WABC. We have the honor of speaking with Adam Levin, cybersecurity expert for over three decades. In case you're just tuning in, not to worry. This Tuesday, it will be available at mybradio.com, mybradio.com. But this is a show that is of acute, vital, critical. You use whatever word you want, but it's of that level of importance because we're talking about cybersecurity, especially following what happened last week and examples over the past few years, Target, Sony, the DNC. I mean, the list goes on. And unfortunately, as Adam has pointed out, to a hacker, they look at really anyone, and that's kind of, you know, equal. You could, you know, you pick the celebrity; it doesn't make a difference. They view everyone as a celebrity. Now, in the remaining few minutes we have, Adam, and again, my guest this evening is Adam Levin. Number one is if someone is attacked, Is, I mean, if God forbid someone was burglarized, so they call 911, they call the police, you know, is there someone to turn to if they're attacked? And another question that I want to address is, you know, a lot of people have stuff today. I mean, we know the cloud is where everyone lives. Everyone puts everything. Should we be looking back at, okay, maybe certain things should remain on the internal server versus the cloud?
Well, I think, first of all, the question is there a 911? We go back to what we talked about a little earlier, which is contact, well, many organizations contact their lawyer first and say, what do I do? It would have been great if they already had a relationship with, let's say, a cyber company who was helping them. But there are certain things that you have to do. For instance, as a business, depending upon the size of your database, depending upon what your business is, depending upon the kind of data on your database, you will have to call certain regulators. You will have to notify your people. There's no national breach notification law, but there are certain notifications that are required, and the insurance company may well take the position, even if you have cyber coverage, that unless you made the proper notifications within the proper period of time, including your insurance company, your coverage could be in jeopardy. So have a third-party vendor who's an expert who understands the laws, because many businesses operate in many states, and you have 51 separate jurisdictions that have 51 separate breach notification laws, and many of them are not similar. For a consumer, obviously, if it's your data, you would want to contact the police because you need a police report if you find that you're a victim of identity theft, because it is a non-starter for credit reporting agencies, creditors, or government agencies if you don't have a police report. The real 911 for you, again, is hopefully you're already in a program, whether you bought a monitoring program from the credit reporting agencies or LifeLock or one of those companies, you know, you can contact them immediately. You can contact, again, your insurance company, your employer, your financial institution, and ask if you're in a program. Or you may have to do the work yourself, which would be a nightmare. As to your question about data storage, if you're going to store your data, you know, everybody goes, oh, it's better if I store it on my server, it's local and it's everything. You better make sure that you have the right security protocols on your server and the right backup on your servers, or else you could end up suffering a ransomware attack like we just lived through and realize that your data is gone. And that can bring a business down in a heartbeat. As to the cloud, there are many, many good cloud providers out there. And of course, Amazon's one of the biggest when it comes to that. But you have to look very carefully at what they do relative to your data. They may say you can store it here, but you're responsible for encrypting it before it gets here. Some may be willing to encrypt it, but you have to read the agreement you have with your cloud provider, because you may be surprised to find out where their liability ends and yours resumes, or the fact that you may have been, you know, have a liability issue all the way along, as well as vendors that you operate with. If you provide data or outsource data to a vendor for providing products or services to your customers, if something goes wrong with them, it's going to come back and bite you. So you need to be very careful about how you vet them. And again, it's always very important to have a third-party expert available to work with you and your team, or as a consumer, someone you could turn to in order to help you get through this. Because if it's a credit card, yeah, you make a phone call, they change a number. If it's a debit card, you change a number. But if they got into your bank account, you may have to close your bank account. It gets more complicated. If new accounts are open in your name, you better have very clear files about where you were, or if it involves your child, how old they are. If it's medical identity theft, it could take a year or more to figure out, depending upon when you go to the doctor. And medical identity theft, as an example, the information of the customer of the thief or the thief could get intermingled with your information because they're getting treatments in your name, prescriptions in your name, examinations in your name. And all of a sudden, if you're having an emergency, The blood type may have changed. Allergies may have disappeared. New allergies may have appeared. And as a result, treatment is prescribed based on data in the file. So that's why it's so important. If you ever sense, read your explanation of benefit statement to make sure that you were really there and it was really you. So these are the kinds of things that, you have to think about, and that's why you need to turn to professionals to help you get through it.
Folks, I want to remind the listeners that you could go to cyberscout.com for a wealth of information and information on how to protect yourself and your business, cyberscout.com. Adam, we're out of time, but what a great, important, critical show. I really can't thank you enough.
I thank you, and just a quick thing is that I wrote the book Swiped. It talks about all of this.
Swiped.
So feel free to go get it.
Excellent. And again, Swiped, it's available on everywhere, right? Amazon, Barnes & Noble, the whole thing. Swiped.
Right.
Swiped.
Yes, sir.
Well, this wraps up another great edition of Mind Your Business here on 77. One who... Everyone, we'll tune in again next Sunday night for another great edition of Mind Your Business right here on 77 WABC.
77 WABC Radio presents Mind Your Business, hosted by founder and president of Bottom Line Marketing Group, Yitzhak Saflis. Mind Your Business focuses on business and marketing strategies for success. Tune in every Sunday night for this intriguing weekly radio show that's chock full of business insights and marketing strategies that will help you get ahead of the game. Host Yitzhak Saflis has been producing pioneering and creative marketing work for over two decades. He leads a team of marketing experts who help their clients build their brands and grow their businesses. Now, he and his guests offer their business and marketing expertise to you every Sunday night on Mind Your Business.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.